Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and to learn and to fellowship in your presence. And Father, we just thank you that in these days, for the great preparation that you're preparing us with, for the glorious things ahead. So we just ask that by your Spirit, you just take us where you'd have us go tonight. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of this, it'll be a series, is called The Ministry of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, as I was putting this together, it was amazing to me because, really, I'm just going to share, obviously, from the Word, but also, it's really a reflection for me of all the different things that have happened over the years and learning, you know, at the hand of the Holy Spirit. And it seems a little smoother now standing up here than it was over the years. But nonetheless, I believe it's a very important thing that each of us continually gain a deeper revelation of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because we're coming to a point where we are going to go nonstop supernaturally, and God is teaching us and preparing us so that the Holy Spirit can have full control in our lives. So I'm going to start off with a few scriptures, and it just gives you a picture. Once again, the scriptures concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit are absolute also. And when we hearken to those and really begin to believe that what the Word says is true, then the Holy Spirit is able to show himself in a way that perhaps he hasn't been able to in the past. So Psalm 25:9 in the King James says, "The meek," or the humble, "he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way." So again, we're talking about humility of spirit. We're talking about a heart wholly given. You know, we can't get away from that. As I've said many times before, the fullness of God's plan, the fullness of the gospel, is dependent upon a heart wholly given. If we're going to truly understand the heart of God, then that's the place that we'll meet him in, with a heart wholly given, and then he'll be able to explain things. The way of the kingdom is very simple, but as I've said many times before, it is absolute. So we're going to see some wonderful things in this last hour as we maintain that place of total dependence upon God. John 14:26 in the Amplified says, "But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things." Not a lot of room for discussion on where we're going to be taught. He will teach us all things pertaining to the plan of God, to the heart of the Father, and he will empower us to understand and to judge those things which cross our path. I mean, or discern in that sense. John 16:13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth," or into the absoluteness of truth. We need to have that understanding. One of the great things that the devil has attempted to do is to sow seeds of darkness in the church since the time of its inception, and chip away at the truth and really cause people to see the truth in less than its absolute form. But the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, or the absoluteness of truth, and that is something that the glorious church will abide in this hour. For people to settle for less than the absolute truth of God means they're going to be walking in error in this last hour. That's just the way it is. Galatians 5:25 in the Amplified says, "If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God," which we do, "let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Holy Spirit." Now, you know, we hear the word control and sometimes we flinch a bit because of all the past experiences with the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit, various spirits of control that are working. But that's just a counterfeit of what God originally intended through the Holy Spirit. When we allow ourselves to be controlled completely by God, we will experience God's best in our life, and we will impart God's best to all those who cross our path. So it's not a bad thing to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27 in the Amplified says, "But as for you, the sacred appointment, the unction, the anointing which you have received from him abides permanently in you. So then you have no need that anyone, flesh and blood, should instruct you. But just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide. live never to depart, rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do. There's a lot in that passage, and I'm not going to go over all of it, but it really draws the picture, paints the picture of the fact that God desires his spirit to dwell in us and to abide in us and for us to abide in him and his word, of course. I'm going to cover a lot more or that a lot more in depth as I go on. But we really need to have these pictures because Christians shouldn't be up one day, down the next, up one day, down the next. Those days are over. Now we are going to rise up with Christ in the heavenly places and abide there and move and speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the only other option is to be drawn down into the darkness of this world and thus remain in fellowship with it. Fellowship is a key word in this last hour. People are either going to have fellowship with God or fellowship with the world and the spirits of darkness that are controlling that realm. Many children of God have little knowledge of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this must change before the church begins to walk in the fullness of the authority she has been given in Christ. You know, it's funny, you look at all the different scriptures over the years we've run across and have become key to us. In Matthew 28, it talked about all authority having been given to Christ in heaven and in earth. And we know, of course, he turned and gave that authority to us, the church. And so we need to not just look at this whole aspect of walking in the fullness of the authority that we have in Christ as some sort of thing that's far out away from us. That should be an abiding principle in each of our lives. It's going to be a very powerful time in our remaining time in the earth. And there's only one way. It's a narrow way. There's only one way to walk in that, and that is by the total empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is important for each and every believer to bring themselves into a position of total and absolute submission to the Holy Spirit in every facet of their lives. Now, God's going to accomplish something here. He's been doing that over a long period of time in our lives. But the fact is we're about to move into a realm where, again, we walk nonstop supernaturally till the catching away of the church. That is a given fact. Now, not everybody's going to enter into that in the church. Only those whose hearts are wholly given. Only those who have laid down their every aspect of their lives to be taught of God. Because when people do that, when they really laid their lives down, then the scripture that says God is faithful to finish the work that he's begun in us is real to us. And regardless of what happens, what we have to learn, what we have to go through, what we're going through, we will have that deep assurance in our heart that we will come to that place of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us and walking, again, nonstop supernaturally. That sounds good. That's got a good ring to it to me. Of course, that begins now. That's not something down the road, but it's that fine-tuning that God is doing in us each day. It may be something simple as having that opportunity to walk in love in a situation that may not be that easy to walk in love. We talked last time about patience. It may be the opportunity to exercise patience when we want to move ahead. But this is, God is moving in such a way as to raise up a people that walk in pinpoint accuracy. That's a real thing. That's not something that's impossible. I can tell you right now, you might as well get this in your spirit, what God is going to do through us, individually and corporately, in the church in this final hour, is far beyond anything we ever thought possible this side of heaven. Far, far beyond. So, we are going to need to be a people who walk in the Spirit. We're going to need to be a people who see through the eyes of our faith, hear through the ears of faith at all times. That is the way the kingdom is accessed. That's the way the grace of God is accessed. It is the only way. It does my heart a lot of good to think of the absoluteness of God and to think that he is going to bring what he has said to pass in our lives as far as the plan of the church goes without exception and with pinpoint accuracy. So we can really affix our faith to the word of God and to every word that proceeds out of his mouth, knowing that he is going to bring us through and cause us to walk in that by his power. The days where a child of God should be struggling and striving to get through are over, because it just indicates that somehow we've slipped into operating in our own strength. But when we enter into that rest of God, and a person doesn't enter into the rest of God until they've ceased striving from their own works. You do not enter into the rest of God until you cease striving from your own strength, your own efforts. Now, when you remain in fellowship with God, and when you are faithful day in and day out to seek Him, you soon come to the realization of the futility of operating in the flesh. Now, we know that there are vast multitudes still operating in a manner of deception. They've been deceived into thinking they're doing the will of God, but they're not. Now, God's going to make that evident. That's not our problem, per se. Obviously, we need to guard ourselves against doing that ourselves, but our job is to be fit vessels of the Holy Spirit and be a vessel of that holy fire that God will surely release on every in every situation. And as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, each man's work will become evident. Fire will bless and strengthen and temper that which is of God. It will destroy that which is apart from God. The very same Spirit, the very same Word, the very same action will cause one of two manifestations in this last hour. People will be caught where they are. So the whole thing is in the fullness of time. But the thing is that God has prepared us, and He is bringing us into a deeper knowledge of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to treat Him as someone impersonal. You know, it's amazing. The fullness of the Godhead is being revealed in this hour. The Father desires to be known by His children as He is, as He really is, not as people portray Him, not as people who have hearkened to the lies of the enemy through those spirits of transference, and they look upon their earthly family or father, and they view the Heavenly Father like that. No, the Heavenly Father is who He is, and He will be known and revealed by the power of His Spirit in the lives of those who truly love Him. Again, I'm mentioning things that we know that we need to have forsaken by this time. But many are still holding to those earthly things. No, we have a Father, and He is in heaven. And the fact is, He desires to be known by us as He is. Again, I'll say this. Every child of God must have a revelation of the divine requirement. That's Luke 10:27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. End of sentence, and everything else. Because, again, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. And who are the pure in heart? But those who are purely devoted to God, to love God, and then to love His people. One of the great problems that up until this time in the church, it's not that some people are rebellious and some people are caught in a spirit of error, but there are many people who are deceived, and it's just simply because they don't have a revelation of God's love for them. They don't have a revelation of His requirement of them, and they don't realize that it is an absolute impossibility to love and minister to the people of God unless we first have loved God with all our heart and ministered to Him with all our heart. People ministering to people, it's all self-glory if it's not done in the love of God. And I mean divine love. I'm not going to go into that right now, but I don't even use the word for anything else unless it involves God. I refuse to do that. I mean, you can say you love a piece of chocolate cake, but that doesn't really have much meaning in the spiritual realm. Until the child of God begins to come to the full realization of this truth in their heart, that's the divine requirement, they will be bound by carnality to some degree and will not be found walking as a representative of the true Christian life. Now, you know, just to put it down to the nitty-gritty, when people's hearts are wholly given to God, it really becomes simple because, number one, we want to love God. We are thankful for what He's done through Christ and through our relationship with Him day to day. But we will want to be a perfect representative of Him. We will not want to misrepresent the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. I mean, we misrepresent the Holy Spirit when we do or say anything apart from God. We don't think of it that way sometimes, but we do. And so the fact is that this isn't something that I'm talking to you about getting into fear about. That's not it at all. But the fact is, it's like just getting our priorities straight. You know, we talk about seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness, or to be righteously motivated in all things. And this is where the rubber hits the road. Because when we truly desire that, we are going to be taken on an adventure by the Holy Spirit that, again, is greater than we could even conceive this side of heaven and in light of the wonderful things He's revealed to us so far. So we are a people who should and will be found pressing on into the fullness of God's will in this hour. Because by our faithfulness and obedience, many will be pulled up out of the darkness. We can't stand there and go back or look back or go back, but we can certainly be that beacon that God desires. And many will be set free in this last hour because of the faithfulness and obedience of the remnant church. So it's not like we don't have anything to do. Everything we do is very, very significant and very critical in this hour. Luke 11:13 says, If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I think somebody said, that might have been you, Bill, a week or two ago, and you were just talking about the fact, I mean, how often do we ask for the Holy Spirit? You know, sometimes we just need to stop and ask for the Holy Spirit, and really, it would be a good idea to do that frequently. And of course, again, led by the Holy Spirit, because he's the only one that knows what we need. Spirit, soul, body, to walk this walk out. And I find it a wonderful thing to be able to really, truly cast my care on God, knowing that he cares for me, knowing that he's made the provision, and knowing that only he can show me the best way out of any situation. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I do want to talk a bit more about the need for us to have a burning desire for God's best in our lives. We need to have that. There's many reasons, but we do need to have that. It is the will of the Father for each and every one of his children to be filled with his Spirit at all times. Simple in word, a little more difficult in practice. He knows, and so should we, that we will need to operate continually in the fullness of our salvation or inheritance in Christ to get the job done accurately and thus reap the maximum fruit and glory for the kingdom that he has purposed. I mean, I can see it in my spirit. I don't have words for it. I do my best, you know, in the ministry and other things. But the fact is, I can see that God has a plan to absolutely devastate Satan before we leave here. You're not going to read that in any normal Christian writings. But I'm telling you, he is going to do a number on the devil. And many captives will not only be set free from the bondages they're in, but enter into the fullness of God's will, even in the short time that we may have remaining, whatever time we have remaining. So I rejoice in that, and it's been said many times before, we are an army that's going forth to victory. We are an army that will not suffer defeat as we trample on the enemy and crush him in this last hour. He knows that. He knows there's a remnant being raised in the earth, and he's terrified. This is the same Holy Spirit that threw him out of heaven that will be operating in us. These are the spiritual realities of the day, but we must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And he is the Spirit of love. So even in the simplest practical aspects of our life, we're still being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Even walking in love towards somebody that may be a little difficult, or just simply walking in the wisdom of God when it would seem much easier to go another route. These are all these little pitfalls that the devil tries to instigate in the Christian's lives. And we need to be rising above that. And again, partaking of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because as God prepares us, there is no end to what he can do to a man or woman or even child that is filled with the Holy Spirit continually. Anyone attempting to serve God in any way without being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit is in sin and presumption. And of course, a maintained state of sin and presumption will eventually lead to full-blown rebellion against the will and purposes of God. And that's precisely what the devil is attempting to do now. He's raising up that spirit of Korah to attempt to remove or to lead astray those who at one time had revelation of the glorious church and many other purposes of God. And so we will be ready for this. We will be ready for this. And God's ready for this, because he is going to strike a blow against the spirit of rebellion. It has no right to move in the midst of his children, and it will not soon be doing that. If the child of God refuses to acknowledge the fact that it is only through the Holy Spirit that they can receive the Father's direction, as well as his strength for accomplishing, and I might say his heart, for accomplishing the given task, they will constantly lean upon their own understanding, and this will keep them in darkness. Again, one of the key things for us as Christians who are truly seeking the fullness of God's will, is to know what his will is. Now, we know the corporate will, and we understand those things and learn more day by day. But individually, we need to know that, because when your heart desire is lined up with the heart desire of the Father, then you are lifted and empowered by His Spirit. And so that's why if I find myself struggling in anything at all, I stop, because I know it's not the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm talking about struggling that consumes you. I'm not talking about having to deal with adverse circumstances, because, and I'm going to get into that a little later too, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, and He is the Spirit of joy. And I'm getting ahead of myself here. But the point is, we need the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Well, what's He called? The Holy Spirit. How could we possibly be holy apart from Him and apart from fellowship with Him? Hebrews 10:12 says, "He, the Father, disciplines us for our good," I might say greatest eternal benefit, "that we may share His holiness." See, everything that God purposes is predicated on the fact that we are holy as He is holy. I know I'm talking to people here who know this, but the fact is sometimes you stop and you think of all the quote-unquote Christian activity that is apart from the Holy Spirit, and it is just, the devil just laughs, because it is drawing people into darkness. If you're walking in righteousness, you are drawing people into the light, and you are drawing people into the heart of God. If you're walking in darkness, you're walking by in unrighteousness and by the hand of the flesh, you're drawing people into darkness. I don't care how big the church or the ministry or how much the people's faces smile. They are walking in darkness, and it's a dangerous thing in this hour to be caught in darkness. Many will not come out of it. It's a dangerous thing. Unfortunately, many have called that which is darkness light. It's not. Jesus said, "Take heed that the light that is in you be not darkness." So we know that it's possible that can happen, and it has happened. But thank God for Jesus, a great light is going to shine in this hour. The refusal to believe the truth that whatever the Father commands, He also empowers, will again cause that believer to seek out and lean upon their own understanding. That's bottom line. Who do you trust? I don't trust my own discernment. I don't have any discernment apart from Christ. Because even if I could come up with something that looked wise, I know its end is death. It just is. Now, I know that from years of experience. I didn't in the beginning. Always trying something. Usually to take a shortcut or relieve the pressure. That's not the way we should be in this hour. Boy, just to draw close to God and to know His heart desire, that's what's going to carry us in this last hour fully. I mean, is there anybody here or anybody that will hear this? Is there anybody who doesn't want to accomplish everything that God created them to accomplish? That's the bottom line. I mean, this is all going to be over pretty soon. And what a great joy it is to know that even now God is doing that work in us, and that we will spend eternity based on that. I mean, we won't come up short in any way from here between now and the catching away or throughout eternity. That's joy. No wonder the church is going to be raptured. I said this a few teachings ago, but Watchman Nee talked about the spirit of rapture, something that we experience as Christians when we draw close to God and fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the best way I can describe it is it's overwhelming joy. Overwhelming joy. Joy is wonderful enough in itself, but overwhelming joy. I mean, it causes you to spring into action in whatever way that may manifest. Nothing can stop you. And that's not far, running far from the gift of faith. And I've said this before, but the gift of faith will be a very predominant gift in the midst of those who truly love God, in the midst of the righteous congregations from here on in. It will manifest. And anybody who's ever experienced the gift of faith knows they don't have a problem when they have that. So I talked about the refusal to believe that what the Father commands or what the Holy Spirit reveals to us, He will empower, then we're forced to lean in our own strength, our own understanding, apart from the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God. This will always, if continued, make that believer more and more uncertain of their position in Christ or in the will of God, and they will turn even farther away from the Word as their final authority. Why? Because if we don't have a revelation of God's will, then eventually the devil will pick away until he can insert a thought that and try to counterfeit it as the will of God, and then people latch on to it. And as we know, it's much easier at times to latch on to those types of things, the thoughts of the mind, rather than the thoughts of the mind of Christ. There's two different things. And if they remain in that position, they eventually will be convinced they're in the will of God. I've seen this time and time again. It's a tragic thing. Because ultimately, the road that way is the end is death. But thank God. I just thank God for the remnant church, because the positive thing which overrides all the negative is there will be a great beacon and a great light shining forth. And no man will go anywhere except by what they choose. And they will not be blinded. They will see. Some will run off into rebellion. Some will repent. But either way, the truth of God will be known in this last hour. And of course, that begins with the household of God. It is because of these things that they will abandon the command to walk by faith and not by sight, and sin not grace. And darkness will continue to abound in the life of that child of God until such a time as true repentance comes. Well, true repentance comes from the heart. People can say they want to be holy, and people can desire the will of God, but really it's coming down to the place of where is our heart with God. Those who love God with all their heart are seeking with every fiber of their being to come into that place of agreement with Him and His will. I've never seen Him be anything less than perfect. And it's just simply a lie and deception of the enemy if we ever think that God's path for us is not the best. It is. It is. The scheme of the evil one, and I might say the number one scheme, is to separate the child of God from the Word, thereby moving them out into an area where, in constantly leaning on their own understanding, they will have no inclination to either be led or be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, the more a person practices or refuses to bring every thought captive to the revealed knowledge of God's Word, the stronger their inclination comes towards the world, towards the thought processes of the unrenewed mind, and which are the lies of the enemy. And so the positive aspect of that is that when we draw near to the Word, and when we fellowship daily with God in the inner chamber, that inclination becomes stronger and stronger, ultimately leading the child of God to the place they would no more lean on their own understanding than shoot themselves in the foot. I mean, it should be that clear to us. And, you know, we know that Hebrews 12 talks about Hebrews 4 talks about is it 4:12? The Word of God is living and active. Able to divide between soul and spirit. That's the key. Even that is empowered by God. We can't figure out sometimes what's of God, what's not, especially under great pressure. But always, when that Word is abiding in our heart, then that separation will be there. And as we draw apart, and as Brady talked about tearing, as we go into the presence of God, all things will become evident. And we have a song here. It says, if we take the time. If we take the time. That can be 5 seconds out of the midst of a busy day. It might take a whole day in His presence, but if we take the time, we will walk above the wiles of the enemy. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 to 4 says that's the scripture, but this is the one line out of it. His divine power has granted to us everything. That'd be good to stop right there. Pertaining to life and godliness. And that really does, again, talk about the fullness of God's plan. That's what it is. We want the life of God. We want to walk in godliness, and we want to experience everything that He has for us. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring each child of God into an abiding holiness, for He indeed is the Spirit of holiness. Everything is provided in Him for us to be one with Jesus Christ in every way. That's spiritual reality. Doesn't matter what we feel like, doesn't matter what we look like, doesn't matter what we think, the reality is that God has made the provision for us to be one with Christ, to be in Christ and have Christ in us. And this is the wonderful thing about the ministry of the Holy Spirit is, I talked a bit about, you know, the Father desires to be revealed. Of course, God is honoring the blood of Jesus. That's a perpetual and ongoing thing that will last forever. But it's really going to be revealed to a greater degree. Well, so is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And one of the great ways is that He's going to demonstrate that ministry through us, because we're going to be products of His ministry, and He will have full control of us. And so it will be demonstrated in many ways. Great signs and wonders, miracles, you name it. You know, just take everything that's happened between the fall and now. And I heard a prophecy, and I believe it's true. God said that more supernatural intervention or miracles between now and the catching away of the church than in the history of mankind. I don't find that hard to believe. You know, all He needed was a church. Instead of having like one or two people pop up every, you know,
decade, it's going to be a corporate thing that's going to happen. And like I said earlier, he is going to do a number on the devil. You know, his defeat happened at Calvary, but it's going to be finished off. And ultimately leading to that glorious scripture in Revelation 20:10, the devil who deceived him was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are also. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, that torment is beginning now. You can count on that. Years of tradition and unbelief have deluded many with the lie that holiness is but for a few special ones chosen of God. Now, isn't that convenient for the devil? No. I tell you, even the youngest child that is filled with the Holy Spirit will do great and mighty things in this hour. He's going to mash the devil at every turn. All he needs is a church and a people who will obey and who will be led by the Holy Spirit and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Three steps to receiving divine guidance by the Holy Spirit. Anytime I talk about steps, I'm always talking about faith, love, and obedience. There's no such thing as a step apart from that where you're going to benefit from God. Number one, the child of God, we talked about this, needs to surrender their whole heart and therefore be willing to be made willing, if necessary, to do all the will of God for their life. And I know when I started out, there were some things that were so easy when God said, oh, I'd like you to do that. Oh, I just run and do it. And there were other things. I mean, oh, I don't even want to tell you how long some of those things took. But the fact was, he eventually brought me to the place where I was willing to do all of his will. And in that time, I was willing to be made willing. And he was faithful. I mean, fear is a strange thing because when we're caught up in a spirit of fear, everything through that mindset and through the eyes of fear, it looks real, but it's not. And when we look through the eyes of faith, and when we are filled with the presence of God, then what looks real to us is the Word of God and nothing else. Doesn't make any difference what's going on out there. That's all going to end. I remember he gave me an analogy kind of to help me in the early years, and I thought, you know, you can look at all these different things, but if somebody dropped a nuclear bomb on the spot you're looking at, there isn't going to be anything left. And so spiritually, he was just teaching me that it matters what he says and what he plans to do and not what goes on around us. I mean, God is moving us quickly into absolute liberty. That's his desire. And I mean, really, we talked about Jubilee, and the first and foremost thing in Jubilee is to be free. I mean, truly free to do the entire will of God. Then, as the rest of the Jubilee blessings come, we'll move with pinpoint accuracy to, again, hurt the devil at every turn, to set the captives free. Priorities. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to go into this right now, but obviously we need to have a heart that's righteously motivated. And then God can trust us with whatever he desires to entrust us with. And not only will we do the job, but we'll do it with that pinpoint accuracy he desires. Because pinpoint accuracy in obedience to the Holy Spirit means one thing. It means you're going to bear maximum fruit for the kingdom, and ultimately you're going to accomplish everything that he created you for. And if a Christian has any other motivation than that, I don't know what they're doing. It's not a good thing. Number two, the child of God must be ever ready and willing at all times to obey or yield to even the simplest instruction given by the Holy Spirit. You know, there comes a place, you can come to a place where you just get the greatest joy and blessing from God when you do something in obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's a simple thing, but it just seems that that is a catalyst to knowing God to a greater degree. And I mean, we don't know that one simple act of obedience might affect 1,000 people down the road. We don't know that. But the fact is, when we take delight in even the smallest things, it is a blessing, even in our relationship with God, regardless of the fruit. The fruit will be born when we obey. When we walk in love, there will be fruit. Whether we see it or not, this side of heaven, it doesn't make any difference. We will see the totality of all that we're accomplishing in our obedience. Nothing goes under the carpet with God. If one of his children exercises faith and love and obedience, then they will see the maximum fruit of that, both now and throughout eternity. Number three, the child of God must have full and absolute trust in the Word and the Holy Spirit, and this can only be brought out through daily intimate fellowship with the Father and his Word. Only. The word only there is the key word in that statement. You know, it's like if you got up here and you attempted to explain to people the benefits of serving God, the benefits of being in the inner chamber, the benefits of seeking first the kingdom, the benefits of obedience, you wouldn't stop. You couldn't stop. But the fact is, if people don't obey in their own life, if they don't enter into the inner chamber, it doesn't make any difference who stands up here and preaches that. The kingdom is set up in such a way as that everything, again, is predicated on fellowship with God. When you do that, then you will experience the benefits. If the child of God does not do these things that God requires his word, they will not. And they'll come up with their own benefits. Not a good thing. It is of the utmost importance for every believer to fully realize that they in no way have the power to produce the desired effect of holiness in their life. And you go to Romans 7:18, that glorious scripture that Paul wrote, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out." And that's a place where every true believer comes to. And again, I talked about it earlier. And you just realize from the get-go that it's futile to attempt to do something in your own strength. It doesn't profit anything at all towards the kingdom. And again, as God is raising us up to be those who abide in the kingdom life, these things will just fall away. But that was a great statement that Paul wrote there, and we've all experienced that experientially. If the deepest desire of one's heart is truly to do the will of God, then as the Holy Spirit convicts them of any hardness of heart or insensitivity of heart, that believer will inevitably be led into a situation where it will become obvious that they, in their own strength, are not able to cope. You know, a lot of times people don't go the whole way. And if things get a little too hard, they pull back and choose another course. You know, and the devil's always trying to, you know, well, wouldn't it be better to do it this way? And of course, it seems spiritual. But when we're talking about revelation, and we will walk in that at all costs to ourselves. God, of course, in one sense, will reveal any ground of fear within us. And every time you confront, through obedience to the Holy Spirit, any ground of fear, you will stand on the other side of that and say, "What was that? That put me off for 6 months?" Yeah, and that's the way it is. And now we should just run towards the Holy Spirit and obedience to the Spirit. And we'll see that that love of God shed abroad in our heart. And it is the love of God that casts out fear, casts it out. When you cast something out, that's not something you're just going to reach over and grab and take back again. It's cast out. We're separated from. This testing or trial, and many times we come into tests and trials simply through our obedience. If a Christian doesn't obey, then that's put off to the side, but yet that fear is maintained in their life. This testing or trial will bring the child of God to the point of decision again and again. Depending on the deepest motivation of their heart, they will either repent and forsake all that stands between God and themselves in that situation, or they will remain in rebellion against God and proceed directly into the great spiritual darkness which is encompassing the earth in this last hour. I've never seen anything like it, because it doesn't look like the big old bad darkness of the Middle Ages, so to speak. It is a subtle and devious thing, and it will draw the heart towards it that's not wholly given to God. On the other hand, those hearts who are wholly given to God are being drawn like never before. It's because the corporate power is beginning to manifest. And so when a heart is wholly given, they're being drawn into that place. It can manifest in being in the right place, but certainly it manifests in being in the presence of God. And it's only in that place that we could come into that abiding place of righteous motivation, or seeking to be righteously motivated in all things. Isaiah 60 verse 2 talks about the spiritual darkness of this hour. It says, "For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples." But see, isn't God wonderful? That's not a negative thing for those who truly love God, because all that's going to do is provide a contrast or a perfect backdrop to what God wants to do in this last hour. It's a much different life to see things through the eyes of faith and the eyes of fear. Fear or faith just simply trusts God and enters into that joy and that rest and that peace that comes from a right relationship and that perfect or absolute trust. Fear has to do something. Fear has to build its own security, its own plan, and that is not a good thing. Our life in Christ does not consist in imitating his example by our own strength and efforts, but rather it is living his life with his life, thus allowing him to possess our entire being as we remain in a continued state of yieldedness. That's it. That's why I say when things try to get difficult or seem to get difficult, stop. Stop and go into the presence of God. The child of God who, because of the pureness of their heart toward God, is able to see the all-encompassing evil of the old nature is greatly blessed, for they will no longer seek to justify themselves before God or man, and this will lead them directly into a full and absolute dependence on the Spirit of God for all things and away from the darkened understanding of the flesh. Again, where are our eyes fixed? Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The more definitely and thoroughly the heart of the believer is surrendered or yielded to the Holy Spirit, the greater and more pronounced their spiritual growth will become. See, if people don't want to grow spiritually, they won't. It's that simple. As the Holy Spirit works in any given area of their lives where sin exists, and they continue to allow his light to expose any darkness in their hearts. Again, the importance of fellowship with God in the light of his word, there's a continual light shining in. You know, we can kind of hide in the shadows and kind of, but when you do that, you grieve the Holy Spirit. And as I go on in this series, I'm going to deal with that. But what happens is, then the next thing you know, we're not sensitive to that light. And we're hiding in a place of darkness. Well, God will step back in his patience, perfect patience, and until we acknowledge that. But again, I'm talking to you about things that will be found in the people across your path in the days ahead, still holding very, very immature Christianity. Our job is to walk in that place of maturity in Christ, totally empowered by the Holy Spirit, and these things will fall off in this last hour. I'm telling you, it's taken us a lot of years for God to do the work that he's done in us, and he continues to do it. But in this last hour, through our faithfulness and obedience, you're going to see these things drop off people, and they're going to go all out for God by his Spirit. That's a fact. They're not going to take 30 years to be sanctified in this last hour. I can tell you, it's just the way it is. I remember, that was years ago now, it's over 20 years ago, and I remember thinking, I mean, I was, I mean, it was just, in those days, it was just the Father, the devil, and me. And that seemed to be it. And I mean, it was just a battle continually and a blessing, you know, to get to know God to a greater degree. But I remember looking at some of the young people that we were dealing with in that time, and I thought, Lord, are they going to have to go through this, what I've gone through? And this was only like 4 years in for me. I said, are they going to have to go through this the way that, you know, the intensity? And he said, no, not at all. He said, in the last hour, as the remnant church rises up, many will have the chains of bondage drop off, and they'll be able to see, and quite they'll just make the simple choice to move towards God and to enter into the kingdom. And you know, I'll tell you, one person with one revelation can do a lot of damage to the kingdom of darkness. That's a fact. And so it's not a matter of them having to go to quote-unquote school for 20 years. They can get, they just need to believe. See, it hasn't. The problem in the church has not been anything other than unbelief and a lack of dependence upon God. And it's caused all sorts of problems. But now that God has raised up a people that are totally sold out to the faith walk, totally sold out to his will, and the fullness of his plan, experiencing the fullness of his plan, then many things will happen, and time won't really be a factor in that at all. The essential condition of the life of holiness is the steadfast maintenance of our close fellowship with the Father and his word and implicit obedience to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, again, it's so important to have a sensitive heart, because when you have a sensitive heart, you can hear the still small voice. There are times in my life where certain areas, you know, you just kind of, you don't really say anything or do anything, but, you know, you're just shutting the Holy Spirit out because you know what he's going to say to you about that area, or he's already said to you. And so he just has to, you know, step back. And then finally we get into a little bit of uncomfort zone, so to speak. And then we go back and say, oh, yeah, no. And then we get it. But that's all the process of God working fear out in us. I'm not talking to a people who have rebellious hearts, because they're going to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and however they want to do it. That they've made their mind up. well, that person will not be able to hear the still small voice. I don't think there's anything more precious than that fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to hear the wisdom of God, and that's, again, that still small voice. And this could be for some tiny little thing, or this could be for, you know, some great revelation of God's plan for this hour. But the fact is, it's a wonderful thing, because the people who truly love God love His wisdom. They just wait to hear what He's going to say. They wait to see how He's going to handle that situation. And that's the way we should be in our own lives. If we have a situation that we need the wisdom of God, then we need to rejoice, knowing that as we go in and seek that wisdom, He is going to reveal the best possible course for us in light of eternity. I mean, that's the trust of God. See, that's another element of trust. These are little things, but when we come into that place of an abiding trust, then we really truly become free to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be thrilled when we hear what He says, not, oh no, I don't want to stop doing that, or oh, I don't want to do that. Not that at all. We as Spirit-filled, Spirit-led children of God have absolutely no excuse whatsoever to retain or maintain willful sin in our lives. For this is caused solely by the evil thoughts and intentions of one's heart, or self-desire, and is an abomination to God. Well, of course. Every child of God must make the decision to put the Word of God first and then act on it. Again, put yourself in a position to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, then do what He says. There's the wisdom of God. I mean, you know, you don't need to read a 6,000-page book explaining things. That's what you need to do. That encompasses our whole life. Put yourself in a position to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, then do what He says. And then do what He says. Then do what He says. So we put the Word first, and if we don't, we will not come to fully know the importance of doing that. Again, if people don't enter into the fellowship with God, they're not going to experience the benefits. If we don't understand that we are required, really, to meditate in the Word day and night, the Bible says in Joshua, then you will have success, then you will prosper. So I know that if I'm not having success, and I mean obvious non-success. I don't mean if I'm standing in faith and something hasn't manifested yet. But I know that if something's failing, and we should know the difference between failing and succeeding at this point, then I know that I'm too far away from the Word, that I need to stop and get into His presence and let Him speak to me by His Spirit. See, this is the foolproof way to allow God to fulfill everything that He created you for. We can't do it ourselves. We need Him. He needs us to fulfill His plan, and we need to be in that place of hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. That is so important. But, you know, it's not because all the things of the kingdom aren't because, oh, well, God says, okay, do this, well, I better do it. Well, He says, do this, oh, I better do it. No. That's not a heart of love towards God. I'm talking about when you get an instruction from God, just rejoicing in the instruction and just doing it. No matter what, you don't worry about what people are going to say, what people are going to think. And believe me, they will say and think things. Again, I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to get into that right now. But our job is to get a revelation of God's will and walk it out. And so many times, you know, I've done things in obedience to God, and all hell broke loose. You know, I never looked, but I never saw it coming because I didn't look. It doesn't make any difference. And then, of course, you always come out the other side ahead. The Word of God and the Spirit of God are our provision for successful survival or overcoming in this earth. And the sooner the child of God comes to this realization, the better for both them and the body of Christ. Three effects of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Well, I'll go into some of this. I'm not going to hurry through this because I've got a lot of stuff, but there is one aspect I want to at least get started on tonight. Three effects of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Continued deliverance from indwelling sin through the indwelling Holy Spirit. In other words, when the Holy Spirit's in control of our lives, it supersedes all the different laws, the law of sin and death, and all the various lower laws, and we walk in the laws and the forces of the kingdom. Number two, the empowerment of obedience. He is the Spirit of obedience to the Word of God through the indwelling Holy Spirit. See, I mean, many people think that they're in obedience where God's concerned. But I've always said this, It's the way God showed it to me. Obedience consists of two different aspects. Number one, a revelation of God's will. You cannot obey God unless you have a revelation of his will. As a matter of fact, you can't exercise faith at all, divine faith I'm talking about, unless you have a revelation of God's will. Because revelation or faith exercised in anything apart from a revelation of God's will is not divine faith, it's natural faith for natural purposes. That's very important. So we need to have a revelation of God's will, and then we have to have the indwelling Holy Spirit to lead us from A to Z, whether it's instantaneously or whether it's over a period of years, to walk that thing out to the fullness. Without those two things, a person is not in obedience to God. I don't care whether they say they are. I don't care what they're doing. I don't even care how great the works look. That is the preciseness of God, and that is the total empowerment of God. And for anybody to think that they can walk in the will of God without a revelation of his will, it doesn't work that way. Where does the revelation come from? The spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that's not just a little piece of advice he gives us. That's an ongoing thing, giving us the wisdom, and then hearing his voice to lead us through to the perfection of what God planned. That is key. I said when I talked about patience the last time, the premier, the basic reason, and the most important reason for patience is we will allow God to accomplish everything he wants to accomplish. Now, that if we can get our eyes on that, that will cause us to not be moved by time in our daily lives. Number three, now this is the one I want the Holy Spirit's having me dwell on a bit, because I really believe, well, two things. Number one, I better read this first. Number three, quickening life for our bodies. The anointing for every task we are given through the indwelling Spirit of God. Now this includes supernatural endurance. This includes divine healing, divine health. It also includes divine restoration. And I can tell you that it is the Father's desire to release such a powerful and divine restoration in the midst of all those who truly love him, that we're going to have things happen to us that, again, we never thought possible this side of heaven. You get to different things in your mind. Well, I'm a certain age, can't do that. Well, and all those types of things, that's not God. Just look at the men and women of God that served him. They didn't have that problem. I mean, Elijah ran the fastest marathon, didn't he? 26 miles. So, Romans 8:11, King James says, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells..." That's good to meditate on. We're talking now. So now we know what we're talking about. We're talking about the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You know? And sometimes we act like, well, my God, I can't even get out of bed. "Dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." Now, we all know we're going to get glorified bodies. That's a wonderful thing. Boy, I'm telling you, that's a great thing. But, you know, God began to speak to me a long time ago, about this time frame of the glorious church and how the infilling of the Holy Spirit would quicken the mortal bodies of his people to such a great degree that they would accomplish great and mighty tasks. Now, what has been one of the great attacks on us over the last number of years? Fatigue, tiredness, anything like that, depression, all those types of things. It's geared to drive the body down. But I'm telling you, God is going, and we need to receive this by faith right now, every last one of us. And we have. I mean, we've received many healings, but we're talking about abiding in divine health. We're talking about a supernatural quickening that is there. And, you know, I've had different examples in my own life in the past. I won't go into those now, but different times where, I mean, I was totally physically incapable of doing what God was going to have me do. And I was a lot younger then. But I did it in obedience. And sure enough, there came the supernatural quickening. Not only that, it bore fruit for the kingdom. And you know, all I was thinking about, oh, God, I don't think I could stand up that long, let alone do what I have to do. And then he supernaturally orchestrated circumstances. But if I hadn't taken the step in faith, and believe me, many times I didn't, then I wouldn't have experienced that. So in this last hour, and I'm going to get into more detail on this, I'm running out of time now, in the next time, but I'm telling you, we're going to see some great things. And I'm just prophesying this to you right now. It doesn't make any difference what affliction or what am I? It's not just going to the people here. This is going wherever it's going to go. Whatever Satan has attempted to afflict you with, whatever damage he's done, whatever he's stolen from you physically or any other way, that's not the topic tonight, but any other way, you just begin to believe God, the Father, for his divine restoration in your life, because it's not only going to come, it's going to come, and you're going to be so far ahead of where you even would have been if the devil hadn't afflicted you at all. That is going to happen in this last hour as we draw close to God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. I'll read this. The word translated as quickening in that verse can be defined as reviving, stimulating, invigorating of its strength. The translation of this word does not refer to the glorified bodies we will receive after we leave this earth, but rather to the physical bodies of flesh and blood we have now to carry out the will of the Father in the earth. Now, I'm going to go on. I'm going to talk about some other things the next time. We're going to deal with Isaiah 40. It's all in there. You know, don't ever say you don't have the goods to get the job done. When you hear the revelation of God's will from the Holy Spirit and you move by his power, you will accomplish whatever God tells you. And we need to be a people who are conditioned not to be moved by what we feel, but rather to hear and see what God is revealing to us through the Holy Spirit. So I was going to pray. I'm going to end this now, and I'll start here next time. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this evening. And Father, we thank you for your Spirit, your mighty Spirit. And Father, we just thank you that in these days, again, you are continually revealing the fullness of your purpose for the Holy Spirit, that you are perfectly preparing us to come into that place of being fully controlled by him in this last hour. And I thank you, Father, for the many great signs and wonders that are happening and will continue to happen in the lives of those who are wholly given to you. And we just give you all the glory and praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.